Thank you, Father, that you have shown us the way to live a blessed life, to be nourished and strengthened by your word, to walk in your truth, to be fruitful, prospering. Oh, Lord God, keep us from running after the things of this world, and remind us, oh God, that it is but chaff, that the wind drives away, and that there is no pleasure in walking away from Christ. Oh, Lord God, teach us to live by faith. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This evening we're returning to Hebrews chapter 11. And in case you're wondering, I haven't forgotten that we are in a series in the book of Acts. Now, it's been since November that we were there. And then we had Thanksgiving, and then we had the Advent season. Next week, Lord willing, the plan is to go back to Acts chapter 7. We finished chapter 6. We're beginning chapter 7, and we'll do that, we'll continue that series on Sunday mornings, and then the plan is, on Sunday evenings, to preach a series, a mini-series, I suppose, from Hebrews chapter 11, and so there are many stories, Old Testament stories, related in Hebrews chapter 11. It's sometimes called the Hall of Faith, and this evening we're going to be looking at the first story about Cain and Abel, Cain having no faith and Abel being a man of faith. And so as a continuation from what we started this morning, we're looking at lives of faith, persevering faith. And we're going to start with Cain and Abel, and then Lord willing, next week, we'll Sunday night, we'll be looking at the story of Enoch and so on. But our text for this evening is Hebrews 11. Verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. We're going to skip verse 5 because that's Enoch, and we'll talk about him next week. But we are going to also include tonight verse 6. So Hebrews 11, God's inerrant and holy word given to us for our good. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. And verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This morning we went back into the context of Hebrews chapter 11. We were in Hebrews chapter 10 looking at the closing verses, and one of the things that we saw was in verse 36, Hebrews 10:36, where it says, you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance. And just like Habakkuk needed endurance, and just like the Hebrews of the first century needed endurance, we could say the same. We are in need of endurance. And that endurance comes through faith. So Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. So you have need of endurance. The just shall live by faith. So this is a persevering faith, a faith of endurance, faithful living. These statements of Hebrews 10 take us into chapter 11, which often we look at as a standalone chapter. But knowing the context helps us to understand this description of faith that endures and to take it for ourselves. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those two verses are key verses in Hebrews chapter 11. They're teaching the same thing. Verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so you have this idea of a future hope, and it's substantial, the substance of things hoped for. So it's in the future. But we are very sure of it because it comes from God Himself. And then verse 6 tells us that our faith is in God, who is the rewarder. of those who diligently seek Him. Verse 1, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So that's faith in the invisible God. Verse 6 says we must believe that He is. And so those verses go together as we try to understand what living by faith is, what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. So the Christian faith that pleases God is a faith in God who exists and a God who rewards. The examples are then listed out one after the other. And tonight we start with Abel, and then next week Enoch. The week following that will be Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and the judges. And it goes on and on. It is really a wonderful chapter to read. And I'm looking forward to looking at these stories with fresh eyes. Maybe, like me, you knew them in Sunday school. And so it's been a long time since you've looked at these. Or maybe you do a yearly scripture reading and you go through the Bible every year and these stories are familiar to you. Well, they're more than just stories. They're more than just words on a page. People of God, the Word of God is our life. And so when we look at these men and women, we're looking at lives of faith, and our desire is to have our faith grow as their faith grew. Verse 2 in Hebrews 11 is a little verse, but it's important to help us understand why we lift up these men and women that are listed in Hebrews 11. It says, "For by it," that is by faith, "the elders obtained a good testimony." So these are the patriarchs, mothers, fathers and mothers of our faith. And why are they lifted up? Why are they held in esteem? Because they lived by faith. They demonstrated a life of enduring faith. It's faith in God and ultimately faith in Jesus Christ. For them, the Savior who was to come. For us, the Savior who came a first time and is coming again. But these heroes of the Old Testament had faith, and it was pleasing to God. And it wasn't just because they did the right things. Don't misunderstand this. It's because they had faith. And their faith is a living faith. And it's not as though you could just do the right steps in the right order. You know, if you say so many prayers, if you make sure you read the Bible every year, and if you do these things, then God will reward you. That's not it. It's not keep these commandments and automatically you're justified. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ is just and the justifier. That Jesus Christ is the one who rewards our faith because He is full of grace. So faith is a living faith that drives what we do. Faith, our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ causes us to persevere and to live for Him. So hold fast your confession without wavering. Believe to the saving of your soul. These are the things that you read about in the bigger context of the book of Hebrews. Justification, people of God, has always been by faith and never through works. And we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, to this story of Abel. This is Adam and Eve's son. And we can see that he was justified by faith and not by the works of the law. So that verse 2 is very important. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. So this good report is going to be mentioned about all of these men and women that we'll see in Hebrews 11. This good report is mentioned about Abel. Look at verse 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness," that's the good report, "through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks." Now, most of you know the story of Cain and Abel, but it's good for us to look at it again. So we're going to turn back to Genesis chapter 4 this evening. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And we're going to look at the story of Cain and Abel, and then we're going to see Abel's faith, and we're going to see the fruit of Abel's faith, and then we're going to see how the world would view Abel's faith. And then we're going to see that the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. So Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, follow along as I read. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. This is the story of Cain and Abel that maybe we've heard as children, and maybe one of the applications was about sibling rivalry, and that could be the case. But really what Hebrews 11, when it talks about Abel, it mentions his faith. And when the Bible, and we'll look at this in a minute here, when the Bible mentions Cain, it's going to mention the wickedness of Cain. We could go back to Psalm chapter 1 that we read together earlier. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And we could say, that's Cain. He's the one that would not listen to what God said, but rather wanted to do things his own way. He was his own counselor in a sense. I want to do things my way. Whereas Abel delighted in the ways of God and wanted to walk in truth. And what we see in Abel is a man who's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But then you know the end of the story, and you know that Abel dies. And what are you going to do with that? I thought you said if you follow the Lord, all your ways will prosper. Hopefully with eyes of faith, we're going to put that in perspective and be able to understand how that fits with what God has given to us in His Word. So the first point in our outline this evening is Abel's faith. And faith must be grounded in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is founded upon truth. Faith that just believes, and there's no object of that faith, but it's just empty belief. That's nonsense. True faith rests on Christ. True faith rests on the Word of God that's been given to us. So for the writer of Hebrews to commend Abel's faith, it meant that Abel was one who walked in truth, one who offered his sacrifice in obedience to God's Word. Now you can read the first four chapters of Genesis and you'll not find an instructional session about how to properly offer sacrifices. It's not going to be there. So how did Cain and Abel know what was right and what was wrong? Well, prior to this sacrifice of Abel and Cain, there was a sacrifice that was made for Adam and Eve. You might remember that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they tried to sew fig leaves together, but they were inadequate. And the wages of sin is death. And so God Himself makes for them clothes of animal skin. That's sacrifice. That's the death that paid for their sins in a way that pictures the seed of the woman who would die for the sins of mankind. There's all kinds of pictures here in the Old Testament. Thank God for the New Testament, because we're not scratching our head and going, what does that all mean? We know what it means. It means that Jesus Christ would come and sacrifice Himself. His blood would be shed. And we had a picture of that this morning in the communion service. Remember, people of God, the blood of Christ shed for you for the remission of sins. We drank the cup. When God made clothes for Adam and Eve, it was because of their sin. He killed these animals so that they might have a covering. We're familiar with these Old Testament pictures, the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. And there's that pattern that is set. So Cain's problem could be that he didn't bring a blood sacrifice. And I say could be, and commentators are divided on this, it could be that he didn't bring a blood sacrifice and Abel did. However, what we know from the law of Moses, and if you've looked at the first five books of the Old Testament, you would find that there are such things as grain offerings and offerings of first fruits. There are bloodless offerings that were acceptable to God. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Cain brings the best, the first fruits, and yet that means nothing to God if it's not done in faith, because whatever is not of faith is sin. So the lack of shed blood may have played a role in Cain's unworthiness. But here's what we know for sure from what's told to us in Hebrews 11. Cain lacked faith. Cain lacked faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how's your faith this evening? We know our faith is up and down and up and down. And we know that sometimes we have a lot of faith and sometimes we have a little bit of faith. Sometimes our faith is strong, sometimes our faith is weak. What is God going to do with that kind of faith? He's going to bless that kind of faith. Because it's not the amount of faith that we have or the lack of faith. It's not the strength of our faith or the weakness of our faith. It's that our faith is in Jesus Christ. He's the one who, if you read the Puritan prayer on the back of your bulletin this evening, He's the one that fills our sails and moves us on in this turbulent sea. As long as our faith is in Jesus Christ, He's going to bring us to that shore. Cain did things without faith, and his sacrifice was not accepted. Abel worshipped in faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable to God. Earlier, I talked about the New Testament mentioning Cain. In the book of Jude, Cain is mentioned, and it is the way of Cain is condemned. It's compared to the sin of Balaam. And that's another story for another time. But you might remember Balaam, who was paid to curse the people of God and was unsuccessful in his many attempts at cursing the people of God. But he had this heart of lust, a man who coveted and wanted. And to compare Cain and Balaam together, it's to look at men who wanted to do things their own way. They loved the world rather than loving God. And there's another one who is mentioned along with them, and that's Korah. And you might remember Pastor Guy preaching about the rebellion of Korah and how the earth opened up and swallowed him up. Another man who did things his own way, not according to God's word. So you have in the book of Jude, you have Balaam, you have Cain, and you have Korah, all put together as wicked men who did things their own way. There's something else that John mentions in his epistle, 1 John 3:11 and 12. Listen for Cain's name here. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother is righteous. So there again, you have a clearly separated view of Cain and Abel. Cain is wicked. Cain is full of hatred. Abel is full of faith and righteous. Psalm 1 again. Blessed is the man. And then on the other hand, you have the one who is like chaff. The wicked will not stand in the judgment. They will be cut down. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Cain is associated with wickedness and hatred and disobedience. He had no faith. But Abel is remembered because of his faith. In the book of Matthew, Abel is mentioned. And you know what he's called? He's not just called Abel. He's called Righteous Abel. What a thing for the Word of God to present you as Righteous Abel. Abel walked by faith. His faith pleased God. Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God because Abel worshipped in faith. So that's point one, Abel's faith. Second point is this, the result of Abel's faith. Faith changes lives. And when I say faith, please understand that I mean true faith in God. Saving faith that leads to persevering faith. That was what we looked at this morning. This is not faith in nothing. This is not faith that leaps into the darkness. But this is faith in the one who saves. The one who is all-powerful and all-knowing and cares for us and loves us. This is faith in Jesus Christ. And our faith in Him carries us through test and trial and struggle. And as the year closed, there were many of you who went through test and trial and struggle. Whether it was death in the family or difficult situations of continuing sin. What keeps us from giving in? It's only faith in Christ. Faith carries us through test and trial and struggle. So what is the result of Abel's faith? He died. What kind of benefit is that? It's a benefit from God. It's a benefit from God who works all things for His glory. This is so often the situation. Faith's fruitfulness is not always seen in physical life. In this case, it resulted in death. Faith's fruitfulness is not always seen in material benefit. Faith's fruitfulness is not always seen in absence of struggle. God, I have faith. Why am I struggling? God, I have faith. Why am I not prospering? Because God is the one who sits on the throne, and faith looks at Him and says, I trust You. God, You know better than I do. Let me read you an example of a man, current day, who lives with this kind of faith. This is from the Voice of the Martyrs. Some of you get this email. It's called icommittopray.com. On December 26th, you would have received this story in your inbox. Calda, a young Iraqi Christian who was forced to flee his family and his country, is now growing in faith as he hopes in the Lord. When his father urged him to get married and drop out of school, Calda insisted on finishing school and also became a follower of Jesus Christ. I started knowing the Lord and going to church, he said. But after learning that Calda had left Islam and placed his faith in Christ, His family began to beat him. Caldas said discrimination against Christians is common in the city where he lived. Other believers then helped him escape from Iraq, and now he lives in another country. Now I'm growing in faith, he said. Although I might suffer, I feel happy because I know that the Lord has defeated this world. This is mind-boggling for unbelievers. And us. I mean, why would you leave something comfortable to go into a place of struggle? Being beaten for your faith. Having everything that you've known and loved taken away from you. We tend to think that God should make our lives easy. But remember the story of Habakkuk that we were looking at this morning. Faith's fruitfulness may not make, and this was for Habakkuk, may not make the fig tree blossom. It may not give you a raise at work. It may not increase your benefits. Faith's fruitfulness might not, for Habakkuk, turn away the wicked Chaldeans from destroying God's people and their city. But faith enabled Habakkuk to trust in the Lord, who is sovereign over all things. Things didn't get better, yet faith held on to Christ. Inwardly and eternally. So not just some inward feeling that the world can scoff at, but for an eternity, there is great fruitfulness. There is great reward. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In terms of eternity, there is great reward, and the rewards of eternity are much greater than any reward that you can have now. You may not realize it a year from now. A year from now, you might look back and go, I wish I did this or that or got this or that. But you know when it's going to make a difference? It's going to make a difference 100 years from now. And 100 years from now. And 1,000,000 years from now. Because this faith has reward for eternity. So when situations arise that seem like they should push a Christian away from God, it's the exact opposite that takes place. The grip grows firmer. The prayers become more fervent. Love for God grows hotter. False faith gives up and said, I didn't get what I wanted out of it, and so... But true faith hangs on. And the grip grows firmer. And the prayers become more fervent. And love for God grows hotter. There are three benefits that Abel's faith gave him. We'll look at those now. Benefit number one. This is all under point number two. The fruitfulness of Abel's faith, or the reward of his faith. Benefit number one is, he had a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's straight from verse 4. Abel lived in obedience to God. That's what made his sacrifice excellent. His faith was demonstrated by his works. Abel's life proves that faith and works go together. His life was very different from that of his brother. And that's what faith does. That's where we started when we talked about the fruitfulness of faith. Faith changes your life. At first glance, it doesn't seem like that big of a difference. But think about it. One pleased God and the other did not. That's a huge divide. One draws back, the other believes. Cain could not be talked out of sin. Let me read Genesis 4, 6, and 7 again. The Lord speaks to Cain directly. He says, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. These are the words of God to Cain. Cain, look, you're not going down the right path. Turn. Rule over the sin that's crouching at your door. If you do right, won't you be accepted? And right after that, verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. The very next verse, Cain went the way of Cain. He followed after his own flesh. Whereas Abel went the way of God. Benefit number one is an acceptable sacrifice. Benefit number two is that Abel obtained witness that he was righteousness. So you go from acceptance, benefit one, to righteousness, benefit two. How did Abel obtain that witness? Well, God accepted his worship. Some commentators that I was reading think that Abel's sacrifice was consumed like Elijah's sacrifice was consumed. You might remember the fire comes down from heaven and accepts Elijah's sacrifice. Some commentators think that's what happened with Abel. Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know. However it happened, though, what we do know is that God accepted his sacrifice. God testifying of his gifts. That's the acceptance part of that verse. So Abel wasn't so concerned about what his brother would think. And that's usually where we fall into a trap. We worry about what others will think instead of what God will think. But Abel was concerned with what God would think. And so Abel walks in the way of God. He seeks to be right with God. He's not concerned with being at peace with the world so much as he is concerned with being at peace with God. So you have acceptance, benefit number one. You have righteousness, benefit number two. Benefit number three, Abel still speaks. Although dead, Abel still speaks. So acceptance, righteousness, and proclamation. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, said this about Abel. He says, though none of his words have been preserved. Isn't that amazing? None of his words have been preserved, yet he has been eloquently preaching for thousands and thousands of years about authentic faith. There he is in the hall of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Abel is presented to you, and he preaches righteousness to us. How did Abel preach? Look ahead, if you want, to Hebrews chapter 12. And it says this, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God. This is Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You're getting these visions of heaven. To Jesus, verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So Abel preaches the shedding of blood for the remission of sins, and then Jesus comes, and he is the reality of the shed blood for the remission of sins. Abel preached the shedding of blood when he brought his animal sacrifice. He taught that faith in the sacrifice yet to come is what declares the sinner righteous. So Abel is well known for his faith. Generation after generation learns about Abel. But now that Christ has come, the message, of course, is much better. The shadow was there, and it still is, in the preaching of Abel. But now we have the new covenant. We have faith in God. Jesus Christ, the sacrifice provided for sins. But it still goes back to faith in God's ways and not our own ways. Just like Abel had faith. So we've seen Abel's faith. We've seen the benefits of Abel's faith. And Now we're going to see the world's view of faith. And the world would look at Abel and think that he's foolish. He was murdered for his faith. In the story of that Iraqi Christian, Calda, he's beaten for his faith. You look throughout the Bible and you look throughout history, and there are Christians throughout all time that have been persecuted for their faith. And in Hebrews chapter 10, this morning we looked at Christians who joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. Think about that. Joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. And they did it by faith. To joyfully accept these seemingly bad outcomes because of your faith in Christ, that's absolute foolishness to the world. How simple it would be if you would just let go of your stupid religion. You know, keep all you have and enjoy. Just, you know, if you want to worship, and this is where the world comes in today, it says this: look, you can be a Christian, but just don't tell me about it. But now it's even getting worse. There are people who can't even go to church. Maybe not our country, but other countries. It's already there. How simple it would be to deny Christ and keep your peaceful life. Keep quiet for the sake of your health, your wealth, and your prosperity. Maybe you're standing in the community. That's the wisdom of this world. But what the world doesn't understand is our love for the unseen Christ. Our love for the unseen Christ. The world doesn't understand because they don't have eyes of faith that see the reality, the substance that is there, the rewarder who gives us a reward for all eternity. You know, Abel could have smoothed things over with his brother somehow, but he didn't. The foolishness to the world is that Abel could have spared his death, could have saved his own life, but Abel's faith saw the unseen. Abel's faith saw the unseen. His faith brought the future promises of God to the present for Abel. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is as if Abel knew what Jesus was going to say in Luke 9. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Abel was concerned about what God thought. And he wanted God's approval, not Cain's approval. And the world says, how foolish. But to us who believe, here is Abel, a life of faith to imitate. We hold him up as a hero. Finally, point number four, faith's focus on Jesus Christ. The focus of faith for Abel and the focus of faith for us is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2 tells us where Abel's faith looked. It says, looking unto Jesus. Remember, Jesus is mentioned all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Cain and Abel come in Genesis chapter 4. Jesus is the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. And Abel's faith was in Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Abel was given eyes of faith to see as he offered his sacrifice on the altar. Through faith, Abel knew that the Redeemer would come. And his sacrifice would take away the sins of the world. So Abel's righteousness came not through ritual sacrifice, but through obedience and genuine faith. By faith, Abel obtained a good report. By faith, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. So people of God, Abel's life and death preach faith in Jesus Christ. And although he's dead, long dead, he still speaks. So what will you do with Abel's message? If you're a Christian tonight, you're looking at Abel and going, man, I wish I was more like him. I want to be less concerned with what the world thinks and more readily accept persecution for my faith. I want to be more concerned with what God has to say. I want my faith to grow, to be like Abel's. If you're not a Christian, know this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So learn to be like Abel. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, help us in this new year to have eyes of faith that grips the cross of Christ, that holds on to you. And Lord, it's not going to be our grip, but it's going to be you holding on to us. And so we thank you, O God, that you hold us and that you caused our faith to grow. Continue to sanctify us, O God, by the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us to be like Abel, a man of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.